Welcome to another edition of A Noise from the Deep. I am Michael Bates, and this is Dave Douglas.
Thank you, Michael, for that chipper introduction. So this is a very special edition because it's the non-interview, the special no-interview edition of A Noise from the Deep, the Greenleaf Music Podcast. We decided to play some of our own music, selfishly, yes. I must say, but I hope you enjoy it. I am going to play some tracks from my new record, which is called Time Travel, and Michael is going to play...
I'm going to play a couple of tracks from an album called Acrobat, which came out earlier last year, and a new record called One From None, which is a band that I co-lead with a friend of mine, Samuel Blazer.
We're listening to a composition called Law of Historical Memory, and the title comes from something that happened recently in Spain, where the investigation of history became a very important element in current society, the understanding of the Franco dictatorship and how people involved in that were to be treated, and how people that were victims of it were to be remembered. And
wow.
I just thought that that was a very, very powerful feeling. And as I was writing the song, I was working on different kinds of ideas of harmony that when I first started writing, what I was trying to do was write melodies that would depart from the harmony and then the harmony would catch up and vice versa. So that's why sometimes it sounds like there's notes that are sort of not in the chord.
Right.
But I was also reading this book called The Technique of My Musical Language.
Yeah. Messiaen.
La Technique de Ma Langue Musicale. I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Olivier Messiaen. And he was talking about, you know, moving, you know, always using major sixth chords, but moving them in unusual ways and always using inversions of them in some strange way. So all of the chords in this piece also somewhat intuitively, but they come from an examination of some of the transposition ideas that he talks about in
it's
that.
It's a very, very memorable piece. The first time I heard you play that was at the Vanguard, and it really stuck with me.
Village Vanguard, one of my favorite altar places for music. So I want to play another track now, and this one's called The Pigeon and the Pie. And I originally wrote this piece for Noam Pikelny, the banjo player from Punch Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We did a little series of concerts together a few years ago. And so like within the tune, you're going to hear some things happening both in the horns and in the piano that approximate banjo lines. And it sort of felt like a folk tune to me.
So you are listening to A Noise from the Deep, the Greenleaf Music Podcast, and that was a track from Dave Douglas's new album, Time Travel, called The Pigeon and the Pie.
Yeah, and I thought maybe we would just listen to a little bit of the title track, Time Travel. And it's called that because it's a piece where, I don't know, people throw around the word modular a lot, and I'm not sure this is modular, but it's more like there's a lot of little moving parts and everybody is able to play all of the different parts. So sometimes you hear the horns playing the bass part and vice versa, and the drums access all the different parts of the language. And so the idea is that it's this dialogue and things are moving backwards and forwards at the same time. And you know, I know we've talked about time travel in the past, and you believe that it doesn't exist because there are no visitors from the future. However, maybe they just don't want to come here. So here's the truth.
Thank you.
Great. This is Dave Douglas, and but you knew that. I'm here with Michael Bates, and yes. Now we're going to listen to some of his music. What are we going to...
The first track I'm going to play is from an album on Sunnyside Records called Acrobat, a music forum by Dmitri Shostakovich, and he has been one of my musical heroes for a long, long time. There's just something about his music that really strikes a chord with me, and it's just incredibly emotional music, and so I've done my best to... throughout the album, write arrangements in the style of him, or you know, just taking little concepts or ideas that I've possibly stolen from his music, and then sort of reimagined them. There's a bunch of different
you know
stuff.
What they say, of course, is that good composers borrow and great composers steal. So you're in good company.
I don't know how to respond. Let's just get to some music. This is an arrangement of mine of his. The fourth movement of the piano trio in E minor, and this is called The Dance of Death. So that was The Dance of Death from an album of mine called Acrobat, Music Forum by Dmitri Shostakovich, and I'm just going to jump right into a piece called One from None from an album that just came out, and it's a quintet I co-lead with Samuel Blazer, a great trombone player from Switzerland, lives in Berlin, and this features Michael Blake, Russ Lossing, and Jeff Davis, One from None. Mm-hmm.
Nice to hear that music.
Thank you.
So I've got a tour bus chatter item.
Bring it.
It's a little bit about composing, but it's about this book that I've had on my composition table for years, and people that have been at Banff know that I read this book, mm-hmm. because it's really about, it's about writing, like the English language, or
right.
I suppose any language. But I see a real close parallel between trying to write sentences and paragraphs and trying to write music.
Sure.
So it's Strunk and White, that persistent little volume, that is so many, has so many areas where he could just as easily be talking about music composition. For example, among his elementary principles of composition, he has choose a suitable design and hold to it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Great for music.
Yeah, of course.
Omit needless words. So leave some notes out.
Yeah.
So important. And we talk about it all the time, but, you know, how do you do it?
Right.
This is great. Avoid a succession of loose sentences.
Right.
It's one that gets me a lot, especially...
And be,
you know,
clear.
In a lot of free improvising situations, is, you know, to try to find the through line and find focus,
sure,
and create that with the writing. It's really important. He says, place yourself in the background, which I think for people who are, you know, when you hear jazz, or I suppose any kind of music where the player is also a composer.
They write a feature for themselves. Or
you have to be
something.
Careful yeah, to yeah. try to put yourself in the other bandmate's shoes and write from that
right.
perspective. And that's very helpful often, I mm-hmm. find, for composers that are encountering writer's block or having trouble envisioning what to write. Of course, my favorite, revise and rewrite. Gotta revise.
Yep, story of my life.
Do not explain too much. Do not affect a breezy manner. do not construct awkward adverbs. So for me, that's like when somebody says, you know, it's a G7 with a sharp 11 with whipped cream and a cherry on top. And I'm like, anyway.
Right.
So, you know, one of the big prizes for in this book is to be clear. One of like the,
that's what he
the
says
biggest
a throughout the
pieces
book.
Of advice. He says clarity is not the prize in writing, nor is it always the principal mark of a good style. There are occasions when obscurity serves a literary yearning, if not a literary purpose, and there are writers whose mien is more overcast than clear. But since writing is communication, clarity can only be a virtue, and right. although there is no substitute for merit in writing, clarity comes closest to being one. Even to a writer who is being intentionally obscure or wild of tongue, we can say, be obscure clearly, be wild of tongue in a way we can understand. Even to writers of market letters, which I think he means like stock brochures,
right.
This is telling us, but not telling us, which securities are promising, we can say, be cagey plainly, be elliptical, but in a straightforward fashion.
Nice.
So he
Makes
goes
sense.
On to talk about, you know, how to develop that sense of clarity. And I was just recently browsing in a bookstore, and I found a new book that I'm adding to my composition table. And it's interesting because this book, the author sort of poo-poos Strunk and White a little bit. And
really?
This is Stanley Fish, and he's got a great recent... It's actually a New York Times bestseller, so probably a lot of you have read it, but it's called How to Write a Sentence and How to Read One.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's really interesting that he sees the sentence as the basic construction of communication and the language. And he really talks about, you know, the nuts and bolts of saying what you want to say. He uses the example of Annie Dillard, who talks about a conversation with a painter friend. I asked him how he came to be a painter, and he said, I like the smell of paint. The point is that you don't begin with a grand conception, either of the great American novel or a masterpiece that will hang in the Louvre. You begin with a feel for the nitty-gritty material of the medium, paint in one case, sentences in the other.
Makes sense.
And that sound is the cue to wrap up A Noise from the Deep, the Greenleaf Music Podcast. Thanks for listening this week. And I just want to mention a performance that's happening at Shapeshifter Labs in Brooklyn. I've been doing a series of workshops with musicians playing music from my sextet recordings.
Right.
And so on May 30th,
Stargazer,
I'll
right?
be playing music from Stargazer and In Our Lifetime and Soul on Soul. And I'll also be playing with my new quintet. So after Shapeshifter, I'll be touring the New England states as part of this 50 states project. So it's the 31st we're in New Haven, uh-huh. and the 1st we're in Portland, Maine, the 2nd we're back in Providence, Rhode Island.
Wow.
This renovated Columbia Theater, which is very beautiful. And then June 3rd in Burlington, Vermont. And then on the 4th I'm going to go hiking to this Appalachian Mountain Club hut called the Greenleaf Hut,
uh-huh.
and it's reconnaissance. I want to see how hard the trail is, because as you well know, we're going up to play August 24th, a free concert at the hut in the Franconia Notch area on the Appalachian Trail in New Hampshire.
I have to say, I'm in training already
good.
For this, because I'm going to need it.
I'm going to go up and figure out just how hard that's going to be.
I'm going to be carrying a bass on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And on our way out, we're going to listen to a track by a bassist and composer, Matt Ullery, and this is from an album of his called By a Little Light.
Thank you.